This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Especially around Christmas, you don't want any of those things coming back. Takes about 10 days, isn't it, now, to get a letter out? At least a week if you're going to mail it coast to coast. A week. Wow. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December the 15th. Wow. 10 more days. Next week. Next week, Saturday, right? We'll be talking in a few minutes with Thomas Hennig of the Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk to Thomas about the record inflation that we are going through right now. I mean, it's really bad. What do you hear about that? And the Federal Reserve's ability to do anything about it. Can the Fed do anything? What are they going to do? They're going to have they're in a series of meetings this week. We're going to talk about that. And while Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, is being held in contempt by Congress for his refusal to testify about January 6th, Joe Biden is assuring Democrats they're going to win again next year. Now, is Joe Biden smoking something we don't know about? We're going to get some thoughts on it, though, and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. And this is important because we're getting to Christmas here. Are we reaching the tipping point when it comes to political polarization in this country? I mean, can we actually, we make jokes about it. Can we sit down to a Christmas meal with people of opposite political views and finish the dinner with them without getting into some sort of royal argument? We are going to take a look at where we are going as a group when it comes to political polarization. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. What are the top 10 most used or most popular prescription drugs in America? We're going to tell you what they are, the top 10. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, for the best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay, especially before Christmas, might we recommend Andrew's Master Barbershop? It is located in Dunedin. It is located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. It's in the Overcash Plaza. Just call first to get your appointment. That's as simple as that. 727-733-3773. And again, we always tip our hat to Good Morning Clearwater. Before our program, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., did a wonderful Toys for Tots campaign. I hope that you will contribute, or did. But they are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right. Well, the Senate has voted to raise the debt ceiling, much to the chagrin of most people that believe that we are already way past overspending in this country. The Senate voted to lift the federal debt ceiling, listen to this, by $2.5 trillion yesterday, clearing a key hurdle toward avoiding a U.S. default. So here's my question. Where is Mitch McConnell on all of this? The vote was along party lines, 50 to 49. That means that one senator did not vote, by the way, because we have 100 senators. Now, lawmakers say the increase, raising the debt ceiling to roughly, a mere $31.5 trillion. Well, in that case, certainly that's not much, $31.5 trillion. That's what we've raised our debt to. That's what our debt is going to be in this country, $31.5 trillion. And these people are going to write our laws and tell us what to do when they're in debt $31.5 trillion? I mean, I don't know what else to say about this. I can't believe it. Even the Fed is in on it. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, I should say the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, she used to be in the Fed, by the way, she said lawmakers had until Wednesday, that means today, to raise the debt ceiling or risk a potential default on U.S. obligations. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we have lost our way with what our federal government is all about. I mean, truly, if anybody came from another planet or, you know, popped up not knowing anything and heard that we were in debt by $31.5 trillion, what do you think they would think of our government and how fiscally responsible we are? They wouldn't think much of us. Now, the House is expected to go along with this. The Senate votes on it, then the House. Says here that the Senate was voted on this following weeks of contention between Schumer, who is the Senate Majority Leader, and Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Minority Leader. McConnell said later today, which meant yesterday, every Senate Democrat's going to vote on party lines to raise our nation's debt limit. If they jam through another reckless taxing and spending spree, this massive debt increase will just be the beginning. It's just, I don't know. We've gotten to the point where you got to throw them all out and start over again. They're all in league with each other. You know? They're not spending, they're spending your money. They get paid by taxpayers. They're also spending taxpayers' money and money we don't even have to spend. Combination of ingredients there. We're just printing money, are we not? And then trying to sell it on the open market, sell our debt on the open market. When is that going to stop? When is that going to stop? In the meantime, we're going to be talking with Thomas Hennig of the Mercatus Center about this inflation. And right now, wholesale prices have risen 9.6% from a year ago in November. 9.6%. That's the highest level in 11 years, I guess it says here. I think it was higher than that, but wholesale prices increased at their quickest pace on record in November. Latest sign that the inflation pressures bedeviling the economy are still very much here. Now, those figures were according to the Labor Department. But we're going to get into that. We're going to take our break, and we'll talk with Thomas Hennig a little bit about where we are going with this inflation, and indeed, what can the Federal Reserve do about it, if anything?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Wednesday. And it's great to have Thomas Hennig join us. He is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, which is at George Mason University. He is also the former president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, I should say. So he knows a little bit about the Fed. I don't know that much about the Fed, only what I have read, I guess you can say. But we got two things going on, Tom. We got the record level of inflation, and I guess the Fed is meeting this week. I hope they're looking at the inflation. Let me ask you straight out. Can the Federal Reserve do anything about slowing down this inflation issue?
Yes, the Federal Reserve can. First of all, you have to figure out what the sources of the inflation are, and there are many sources, and one of them is the Federal Reserve has, in fact, engaged in a fairly aggressive easing policy for the last almost 2 years, and they can, and that has contributed to inflation, both asset inflation and inflation most people talk about, which is prices. So what they can do is stop doing that. That is, stop the easy money policy, and that will begin to reduce the demand in the economy and slow it, and that will slow prices. Now, that will take some time, and how they do it will affect the economy, how well it grows. It could cause a recession. That's what they have to be aware of. But waiting too long could make inflation worse, and that could make then a future recession worse. So they have a very fine line to walk. But to answer your question, yes, they can.
They can do something.
So
when you talk about them making money harder to get, is that kind of what you mean? It's too easy to accumulate? We got too much of it? Or... it's too easy to get a loan, or what? They have to tighten the ability of people to consume more currency, or what exactly are you saying there?
Okay, well, what they have to do is create less money. Right now, they're creating a lot of money into the economy through the banking system, and by keeping interest rates to very close to zero, they are actually creating four banks about $120 billion additional dollars every month through their asset purchases, that is, the purchases of government securities. And they are the Federal Reserve, when they do that, here's the key. When the Federal Reserve does that, they literally create money out of nothing.
Uh-huh.
So they...
that's how inflation, when we start throwing more, if there's more of it, it becomes less valuable, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they have to stop doing that, and then that'll make money more valuable, and it'll purchase more, and that will bring inflation down. But it takes time, and if you do it too rapidly, you risk putting the economy in a recession. You do it too slowly, you risk having inflation only get worse, which will then also lead to a recession or financial crisis. And so they have a very difficult path ahead of them, but it has to be addressed.
Tom, how much confidence, good faith, do you have in the current makeup of the Federal Reserve? Do you think that they will be looking to do those things that you're talking about?
Yes, I do. I think they're very much aware that now inflation is more than transitory. I've heard the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, say that. I've heard many members of the FOMC say that. So they know that they have to address this inflationary problem, and I think they will start that today, as a matter of fact.
Good. The sooner the better, right?
Yeah, well, they're meeting today, and I think they announced their the results of their meeting around 2 o'clock Eastern time, and I think it's 2 o'clock Eastern time, and then that will begin the process of hopefully containing inflation, but it will take some time. It's not going to be done overnight, I can assure you that.
Yeah. We're talking with Thomas Hennig, senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, George Mason University. He is the former president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. He was a Fed member for almost 40 years. He was vice chairman of the FDIC. You forgot more than I'll ever know about banking and money and all of that, Tom. But
it's changing so quickly. I'm not sure of that.
Speaking of that, here's a shot from left field. What do you think about this whole cryptocurrency thing in terms of floating around the world? Would you invest in it? Let me ask you that.
Well, I don't know if I would, but I haven't.
Oh, you haven't, or you have not?
No, I have not.
You have not. Okay. Yeah. I just wondered. Would it? You know, right now, isn't it the U.S. dollar that is, what is it, the standard for the world? Is that correct?
It's the U.S. dollar is called the reserve currency for the world, so that other countries will use dollars to trade and to settle their accounts with other countries, then, because we don't have a gold standard any longer, so you don't ship gold anywhere, but you can move dollars as the reserve currency to any place. And so long as people elsewhere in the world have confidence in that dollar, then they will accept that in terms of buying and selling goods among themselves, not just with the United States, but with one another. Mm-hmm. And then it'll settle through the United States.
But they base that on the good faith of the dollar and its strength. Like you said, we don't have anything to back it up anymore.
Right.
That was changed, I believe, in the Nixon administration. We went off the gold standard.
That's correct. We went completely off under the Nixon administration. But the thing that backs the dollar is the industrial might of the United States. So as an economy that is the strongest in the world, the most reliable in the world, we have the rule of law, those are the things that give people confidence that they will be able to settle in dollars. Now, that confidence can't be taken for granted, and that's really why you have to get inflation contained and work to maintain the value of the dollar. Now, you spoke of cryptocurrency. You know, one of the things that people, I guess, suggest, if not argue, is that one of the reasons crypto, which is also a virtual currency, so it has nothing behind it, crypto doesn't, is that it is also reliable. It will not produce more of it. It's formula-driven, and therefore it may, compared to the dollar, hold value against the dollar as well as anything. So people say, well, I'll give it a try. That's why you've seen crypto, one of the reasons that you've seen crypto take off as it has.
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning, I guess I want to ask you this. Do you have any confidence that the Biden administration can handle what's going on with inflation? They kind of throw in their hands up. But a lot of people think that some of the maneuvers by Joe Biden and his administration helped to cause this inflationary situation. Is he just a byproduct of this inflation, or is he a component of this inflation?
Well, I'd say I have to tell you honestly, the issue of inflation has been with us for well over a decade. We have had inflation in asset prices since 2010, 2011. As the Federal Reserve, and as governments spent more money and the Fed printed more money, we've been inflating assets. Think about it. The stock market, for example, housing, for example. So inflation's been with us for well over a decade, or at least a decade. So I don't think you can blame it on any one president or any one party or any one person. It is what we've come to, the policies that have led to this that we've come to accept. For example, in 2008, the debt of the United States was about $10 trillion. In 2016, it was about $20 trillion. And today, it's about $30 trillion.
Yes.
And so that's an accumulation of a lot of debt that then the Federal Reserve has helped fund, because they've increased its balance sheet. The Federal Reserve increased its balance sheet, which was in 2008 less than $1 trillion, and by 2016 was around $4.5 trillion, and today is almost $9 trillion. So it's not something that just happened in the last year, or now it has continued in the last year. So everyone has to take responsibility for that part. But it's been around much longer than a year.
I read a story prior to your coming on about the Senate voting to raise our debt ceiling by $2.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And both parties, of course, are responsible for that.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, we're now close to, in fact, the debt ceiling means that our debt ceiling has been raised to roughly $31.5 trillion. And I mentioned that if somebody from another planet just landed and was told our government is in debt $31.5 trillion, what would they think of us, you know? It begs the question, we're all kind of guilty of this, but at the same time, we got to fund our government, I guess. I don't know. I just want to get your thought about, our attitude towards debt.
Well, that's really part of the key. I think you have to fund the government, but the question is, does the government constrain itself in terms of its spending, or does it continue to spend at very significant levels? And that is the question that only the government, that is the Congress and the executive branch, can address. But I'm quite confident that this $2.5 trillion raise will be used up fairly quickly, given the spending levels that the government is now at, and I think that's what they have to be mindful of. Now, I will tell you, we will never, I think, repay this debt. The key to bringing this under control is to have your debt, your government debt, increasing at a slower rate than your national income. And over time, then the percent of that debt to your national income diminishes. Now, you don't want to do that by inflating. That's a bad choice. But by growing your real economy to where it can outgrow this debt drag on the economy for the future. So very difficult. It takes both parties to agree on that and to deal with it over a generation, literally.
Yeah. Boy, I just don't have the confidence that the parties will follow that. But it makes good sense. And, Tom, you make things understandable, which is to your credit. I appreciate your coming on, talking to us about this very confusing but such an important subject. Thank you so very much.
It's the most important subject we face, one of the most important subjects that we face, not the only one. But very important, and I'm happy to try and help.
Indeed, and we'd love to have you back. Thank you, Tom.
Sure. You betcha.
All right. Thomas Hennig of the Mercatus Center. We will have him back. We've had him on before, I believe. Anyway, we're going to take our break, and when we return, Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, he's held in contempt by Congress. He doesn't want to testify on January 6th now. Biden, at the same time, assuring Democrats that they're going to win next year in the off-year elections. Really? We'll get some thoughts on that, a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We got a little news to tell you about. We are going to be doing a monthly 15-minute interview with the hosts of The Voice of Reason. In fact, I'm going to be on their show once a month. They are going to be on our show once a month. If you listen to The Voice of Reason, and by the way, they are on Thursdays, same time slot, 10 to 11 a.m. They are, I guess you could say they're, is this fair, Ed, that they're both progressives, I guess we could say. So we have worked out an agreement. Even Ed doesn't know all about it, but on January the 6th, we are going to be on their show for the first. It happens to be a Thursday, Ed.
Everybody's going to check their firearms at the door?
Yeah. We're going to do it by phone so we can't shoot each other, you know. But I'm going to look forward to it, and I think they're looking forward to it. Then on January the 13th, the following Wednesday, we will have them on. And we will do a tit for tat every month like that. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see where it goes. In the meantime, so Biden is at this DNC, Democratic National Committee, holiday party. I wonder if he drinks. He does. I bet if he took one drink, he'd fall on his keister. Anyway, he's at this party last night. He must have been drinking. He expressed optimism that his party will prevail in next year's midterm elections. He says, he kind of says, let me say this again from the president, we're going to win in 2022. Meantime, Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff of Donald Trump, the House went after him, holding him in contempt of Congress. We have the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Cerasi. And Andrew, you know, they won't let go of this January. It's the only thing the liberals and the progressives have, I think, to hang on to.
Well, Paul, they're losing their grip with COVID, so they've got to hold on to something. I mean, what do they have? They haven't done anything. They can't talk about anything they've done except wanting to put us in debt even more.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it, $31 trillion they're talking about now?
Yeah, $31.5 trillion. We're going to be at that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one question. Who would be stupid enough to buy our debt?
You know, I don't know if you were listening to our little discussion with Tom Hennig, but it's basically the dollar is the currency of trade around the world. So there's still some belief in it. But one of these days, you would think that people go, well, wait a second. Why are we using the U.S. dollar? Maybe we ought to change it to the yen or something. Then we'd really be in trouble, wouldn't we?
I'm surprised they haven't changed it to the yen yet.
Yeah. I know.
Our dollar is useless. You know, Paul, they're saying that it's a 6.1% inflation. But you know, if you put 6% on your gas bill, 9% on your food bill, and another 9% on automobile bills, you know, prices for parts, this and that, it's not 6%, Paul. I think you're more at around 36%.
Well, of course, and gas prices themselves, hasn't the price of gas risen by about 50% since a year ago, November, something like that?
No question, over a dollar a gallon.
Yeah, so, I mean, that alone raises the cost of everything else, as you know. If fuel costs are raised by 50%, then your meat products and anything else you buy, which is delivered by a truck, is going to cost you more.
Yeah, I believe this 6.1% is a lie. I think it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, well, they said wholesale prices rose 9.6%.
That's what I'm saying. If wholesale was 9.6%, retail's got to double that.
Okay.
It only makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's got to be more than 9.6%. Yes, retail's got to be higher. You got to raise the prices to meet the prices to cover your costs. Plus, you got to make a profit. Yeah.
You know, Paul, if you think about it, people that live in a socialist country, Denmark, whatever, they're paying 65% in taxes on their, you know, whatever they're making. But if you looked at the Americans, we pay sales tax on goods. We pay tax on gasoline. We pay tax on alcohol. We pay tax on cell phones. We pay taxes on our electricity. Our tax rate is about 65%, Paul, if you totaled all that up. How are the American people living on 35 cents on every dollar they make?
It's not easy. First of all, half the country doesn't pay any federal taxes. You know,
there you go.
Yeah, the lower 50% of this country don't pay any federal.
I forgot about.
But they do pay at the store and they do pay at the gas pump. So you're right about that. Everybody pays taxes. They have to if they want to survive. They have to pay taxes.
And like I say, if you totaled it all up, we're paying 65%.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind about it.
Right. It's very depressing.
Yep, but you know what?
I want to hear some positive news. Can you give me any?
I'm going to give you some positive
news, Paul.
Oh, good.
Goody.
This is so positive, I can't believe it.
Goody.
You know who's talking about running in 2024, Paul?
Who?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I am so pleased.
Yeah, you believe this one?
I am so... Well, she still thinks she might have won in 2016.
She is talking about running again.
You know, isn't that amazing? I think it would be wonderful to have Biden and Hillary running against each other in the Democratic primary. That would be fun.
Unbelievable.
I would love to hear what they would say about each other.
Oh, my goodness. And have Kamala Harris there, too.
And Kamala would be there.
Well, you know, it's amazing what's going on. We're going into the Christmas holidays. You know, that gives us a little relief of thinking about politics. But however, you can't stop thinking about it.
No.
When it's draining your pockets and your pockets are hanging inside out, this is ridiculous. Give everything to the illegal immigrants that are coming in. Give the American people nothing. Let them keep paying for their votes.
Yeah, and we seem to not care about whatever is happening with the open border and any of the virus. That we don't worry about. But then we're gonna stomp down on everybody that's a legal citizen here. Get that mask on. Get that shot. You know. We don't care about it, you know. Well, in the meantime, in the middle of the night, we'll dump all of the illegals, diseased or not, right, anywhere we want.
Well, I tried to put up a GoFundMe page the other day to help our governor raise more money to send all these illegals up to Delaware.
Is Ron DeSantis really going to do that?
Yeah, I know a lot of people want him to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? Why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't he? Biden dumped them here in the middle of the night. Nobody knew nothing, right?
I can't see. I can't find a good reason not to put them all on a plane.
Put them right in their front yard.
How about we put them all on a plane and fly over the border and drop them off in Tijuana?
No, I'd rather put them in Delaware.
In Delaware? Okay.
Let them live among their men.
Yes. You touched on something that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, and that is the polarization, the political polarization. And when we sit down at Christmas dinner, we dare not talk politics. I know you do, but a lot of people dare not talk talk politics with the people sitting at the Christmas table, because we would be throwing Jell-O and turkey legs at each other. Correct,
Paul. I avoid that situation. I do not associate with liberals, even in my own family.
I know about that. You have a daughter that's liberal, right?
And we haven't talked since May the 8th.
You haven't talked? Let's see. This is December the 15th. You haven't said a word to her since then?
No, sir.
Can I be sort of, what's the word, a mediator to help get you two talking again?
You know, Paul.
What?
What it stems down to is respect.
Yeah.
She went to college, got her $200,000 education, thinks she knows it all, thinks she's better than everybody. But you know what they don't teach them in college, Paul? They don't teach them respect. And I'll tell you why. When my wife was sick, this daughter of mine did not even call to see how my wife was doing. Okay? And that's the one thing I look very highly into, Paul, is respect.
Mm-hmm.
This woman raised this girl, gave her everything, took her back and forth to school at 9 o'clock at night when she was all in her clubs, took her shopping for clothes, made sure she did everything right. And you don't have the common decency, when this woman didn't know she was going to make it out of the hospital, to call and see how she is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what politics is teaching these kids. This is what college teaches them.
Is it because of the political schism between...
Oh, yes, it is. What it states to. And she takes it out. She took it out on her.
Yeah.
You understand?
I've often wondered, like in my family, and I've got seven brothers and sisters, we have the same issue. And I'll be honest with you, one of my sisters and I, we were at a wedding together. We got into it a little bit. And she got upset. And I felt that I could talk without getting upset enough to want to cut the cord, but she was upset enough that she didn't want to talk with me for a while. I can understand in a way. I can understand.
Like I say, Paul, what's lacking today with all these kids is respect, and that's what's lacking in this country. People have no respect for each other. All they do is care about what they want and what they want and what they want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it go to the fact that the generation, just because we seem to be rolling out, you know, the last couple of generations, a lack of knowledge of what went before us, and therefore we don't have the respect that we should? Do you think that's part of it?
No, Paul, they're erasing history.
Yeah.
Instead of being proud of where they come from, our government has been brainwashing them to be embarrassed of where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like I say, college, I believe college is three-quarters of the problems of these young people. They push college, you have to have college, you get anywhere in life. I got news for you. We got a bunch of morons running around that are all college-educated.
They
see them every day.
Yeah, college-educated but ignorant, aren't they?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, when I say that, I mean they don't have the street smarts or the whatever it is. You can have a degree and still kind of not have the realization that you need to have.
Common sense.
Common sense about life.
It's common sense.
Yeah.
And like I say, they think the world owes them a living. They don't want to work. Why do you think we got this employment problem? Then the government's sitting there and wants to keep giving them more money that they don't even have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you run your household like that?
No.
I don't. So how can this country...
I do a lot of shoplifting, though.
There you go. Well, that's what looting is. There's 12 more days to loot for Christmas, right?
I do. I'm not doing smash and grab, though. I go in and I do it the old-fashioned way. I wear a large raincoat and I slide it under there.
Yeah, but Paul, it's disgusting what's going on. And like I say, now you want Hillary Clinton is going to be running. This country's got enough turmoil as it is.
Do you really think that she's that out of it, that she thinks that she could run and win? Don't you think the Democrats themselves will talk her down off that horse?
They put Biden in there, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
to the Democrats, they're going to think Hillary is all the powerful. They believe she won that election.
You know, it's funny that there isn't one Democrat that you can look at that you can say, now that person I would think has a shot. I mean, I'm looking at the ones, the Buttigieg, Hillary, Kamala, Joe. What? Why would anybody?
There's only one Democrat that talks that makes sense, and I can't believe she's a Democrat. It's Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard, actually, yeah, she's got some fire in her, and you know, she's got a little conservative in her. She was military.
That's what I'm saying.
She's yeah.
The only one. You tell me.
I think she should be a Republican.
That makes sense. I mean, the Democrat poster child is Nadler.
Yeah, Jerry Nadler, yeah.
Yeah, that's their poster child.
Yeah, or Adam Schiff.
There you go. And these people, they shouldn't even be in a position of our government, Paul. These were losers all their lives. They got to lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you look at the politicians that we have, they couldn't have done anything else in life except what they're doing. And, you know, they're bullcrapping people.
Yeah.
That's all they could do. And then you got the fools that listen to them.
So the good news you were going to give me is that Hillary's thinking of running. Okay.
That's the good news.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, my friend. Listen, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that your beloved wife, Nicole, is doing so well. I was so pleased to see her on Friday at the bowling alley when we did our show there. And she looks great. So I will look forward to talking with you again on Friday, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Hopefully I have some better news for you.
Okay.
You have a good day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, goodness. Hillary Clinton? I can't believe she would think to run again. I just can't. All right, we're going to take our break. And as we said, when we come back, are we reaching the tipping point when it comes to political polarization in this country?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Bless his heart. Which means you go to our website, click on the podcast button, listen to your enjoyment and your heart's content. All our shows are there, chronologically from the most recent back. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know, polarization in families as well as maybe in parties as well, where they just won't speak to each other anymore. There's a new study by researchers at Cornell University. It finds there may be an actual tipping point where no issue imaginable can unite a Republican and a Democrat again. a tipping point where they won't listen to each other. You know how talking politics during a holiday turns family gatherings into some pretty nasty, hostile situations. So it's the same thing, I guess, with the political parties. The question is, why can't we set aside our politics? And is this the worst it's ever been? Is this the worst it's ever been? I mean, it seems to me that it probably is. And Ed, I don't know if it's because Donald Trump brought that out in people. Did you feel before Donald Trump that people could not talk to each other anymore because of a lot of people could not talk to each other anymore because they would, if they got into a political argument, that would be it?
I think his 4 years brought out how corrupt our government really was, and people opened a lot of eyes, and people don't want to go back that way. And the ones that wanted to keep things the same are the ones that you know, don't like Trump or whatever. But not Trump alone. I mean, look at what DeSantis is doing too. I mean,
Ron DeSantis, yeah, in Florida here.
In Florida here. Everybody's, you know, looking towards him, and but it's so divided, and then you're going to throw in the race theory, you know, with the racial tensions that they're drumming up. If you listen to politicians and some of the really really progressives out there, you'd swear that a white man and a white and a black man could never be in the same room at the same time in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's not true. I mean, it's just, you know, everything is just ridiculously overamped. And then you throw in the media, too. I mean, the media is a big mix of
so
that.
So it's a matter of stirring up a hornet's nest. Trump stirred it up a little bit, and then the media stirred it up on the other side a little bit, didn't he?
A lot.
So both of them
a
stirred
lot.
It up, really.
A lot, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't talk politics. You can't. I mean, two people that
I think
are on the same party
right
can,
yeah.
But you can't have a decent conversation.
If you can't do it in your family, how are two people that are not family related that get into it, you know, going to work it out, right?
I think you or I, when we listen to people, we listen and we might say, hey, well, that's a good idea, you know, where you get some people that are just like, no. Anything you're thinking is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not.
They close their minds.
Exactly.
Don't they?
It's like they're a horse with blinders on.
Right.
And that's it. That's they just don't want to listen. They're not going to listen. They're not going
to. Is it an insecurity in somebody not to listen? I think it is an insecurity.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah.
Because they're not secure enough in what they believe.
Right.
And if you say something that they can't answer, so they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and then the name dropping, you know, the calling of names and
yeah.
That
well, that gets to the
way,
right, that's
going.
Shooting the messenger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I always thought when they went after Trump, they didn't go after him because of he did this or he did this. They went after him because they didn't like his personality.
Yeah, they didn't like what he was tweeting and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, they would go after personal defects in his character, and they hated him.
Yeah,
and
therefore, no matter
what he did, it wasn't going to satisfy them.
Making fun of his hair, calling him an orange orangutan or, you know.
Yeah, because they couldn't go, maybe it's because they couldn't go after his policies.
Right.
And it was, so you attack the person.
Right.
Okay. Very interesting. All right, Ed. Well, this to me is an interesting topic because so many of us take drugs. And I'm talking about the legal kind now, folks.
Oh, okay.
The prescription drugs. So I went out, and I really did. I wanted to find out what are the most popular prescription drugs in America. I found them at medicinenet.com, all right? And Ed, when we get to number one, I want to see if you know what is the most
okay. I have an idea.
Popular. Okay, very good. Here we go. Number 10. It's called Losartan, but I guess it's over-the-counter name is Cozaar. Cozaar. Be familiar?
Losartan, is that the sleeping drug?
Is an oral medication that belongs to a class of drugs called angiotensin receptor blockers, used for treating hypertension.
Oh,
and
anxiety.
Reducing the risk of stroke. Yeah.
Anxiety.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Exactly right. Okay, number nine. You've heard of Prilosec, haven't you?
Sounds familiar.
They run ads on television.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Well, its generic name is Omeprazole, O-M-E-P-R-A-Z-O-L-E. It's number nine. It's in a class of drugs called proton pump inhibitors. They block the production of acid by the stomach.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, acid reflux and that kind of thing, I guess. Number eight. Have you ever heard of Norvasc or Amlodipine?
Amlodipine.
Amlodipine. You've heard of it.
Yeah, that's just a heart blood pressure.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, it's exactly right. Treating high blood pressure and for treatment and prevention of chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Number seven. Lipitor. We've heard of Lipitor, Lipitor is number seven. High cholesterol.
Mm.
It also prevents chest pain, stroke, heart attack, and in individual with coronary artery disease. Number six. Metformin. I've taken metformin, by the way. I don't do so anymore. Mm. Very inexpensive. Metformin is used alone or in combination with other drugs for treating type 2 diabetes in adults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number five. Neurontin. N-E-U-R-O-N-T-I-N. It's an anti-seizure, anti-convulsant drug. Used to prevent seizures in people. All right. Number four. Synthroid. I'm using the brand names here. Synthroid. Mm-hmm. Synthroid is a man-made version of thyroid hormone. It is used for treating hypothyroidism.
Okay.
Yeah. Number three. Lisinopril.
Lisinopril is also a blood pressure medicine.
It is.
It blocks something to do with but
yes.
It blocks certain inhibitors or something like that for high blood pressure.
Yes.
But it is all has a very bad side effect of dry mouth and dry throat.
Right.
Which I had to get off of.
Well, you're exactly right. It's an inhibitor used for treating high blood pressure, mm-hmm. congestive heart failure, and for preventing kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Number two. Have you ever heard of albuterol? Albuterol?
Yes.
Okay, that's number two. Albuterol sulfate. It dilates the airways of the lung, used for treating asthma and other conditions of the lung. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have arrived, Ed, at what number one is. Do you have any idea what number one is?
I'm going to have to say any form of opioid.
I'm going to give you a green light.
Okay.
You're right. It's Vicodin.
Vicodin. Okay.
It's Vicodin. Vicodin.
There's so many forms.
Now, Vicodin is a pain-killing form, right?
Right.
And when used correctly, it's great. After surgery, a lot of people have Vicodin, right? Popular drug for treating acute or chronic moderate severe and to up to, from moderate to severe pain.
Right.
That's what it is. Okay.
Right.
There you go. But it's a dangerous drug. Got to be careful with
it. Yeah. Very addictive.
Thank you so much. We will be back on Friday, folks. We appreciate you being with us. And remember, freedom works.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet.